Welcome to The Ether. Today's Tuesday, March 22nd, 2022. This episode of The Ether is brought to you by Orbital Command, a community validator on Terra dedicated to educating, expanding, and promoting the lunatic community. Take advantage of their Terra Luna Intel report on Telegram, which brings you the hottest news and updates on all things Terra each and every day. Find it using the link in the show notes. You can also support their community efforts by considering them next time you're delegating or redelegating your Luna. Find out more at orbitalcommand.io. This episode of The Ether is also brought to you by Luart. Luart is the first gamified NFT platform built on the Terra network. Luart provides a seamless minting and trading experience, all while earning you rewards just for being a user. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the community in the Discord server for the most up-to-date news and announcements regarding all the hot new NFT launches, platform upgrades, and new projects hitting the secondary marketplace. Are you ready to put your helmet on and join the movement? Find out more at luart.io. Terra Spaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. Today on The Ether, The Pact, number one. I think this is about Algo. I'm not sure. I don't know how this got in there. I think somebody requested it. But I think it's good to learn about other chains and whatnot. So let's take a listen.
Crazy. Every time we get hit with a hurricane, like water goes off the roof.
We end up getting potato shortages quite often because they're grown like down south, and any amount of rain just ruins the potato crop, and then all of a sudden fish and chip shops don't have enough potatoes to make their fish and chips, which is tragic, obviously, because everybody loves their chips, myself included.
Yeah, the hardest thing to get in a hurricane is gasoline. Like, I'm not going to lie, people will literally fight to their lives for gasoline during a hurricane.
Dude, I'm not at all surprised by that. It's petrol prices here, or gas prices here, are insane at the moment too. I'm actually actively trying not to drive anywhere just because literally getting in the car costs me like $5. It's ridiculous. Yeah. All right, we've got some listeners in here. G'day, Robbo. Thanks for joining. Hello, Tawai, Natalie. Lovely to have you all here. I think it's 11:01 where I'm at, so we might just hop into it, hey? Thank you, everybody, for joining for the very first Pact Spaces. I appreciate you all being here. And Robbo, jumping in. Righto, Robbo, you should be good to go to speak now. I'm going to give me a quick sound check. Oh, he's gone again. You might have to request again, bro.
Classic Twitter.
It's actually so buggy sometimes, hey?
Yeah, they definitely need, like, especially as popular as they are, they definitely need to put some more thought into them.
Yeah, well, at least we know that they will be, because they are really popular. So it's good to see. Like, the last one I recorded, we didn't even have this the record function live, but I've got that. That's live now. So this whole space is going to be recorded for the community to listen back to later if they want. But that's a feature that they rolled out recently, actually. I hadn't used Spaces in a while up until doing the prep for this, and it's nice to see that you can record it live straight away. That's really cool. All right, we'll jump into it. Hey, there's been a fair bit going on for Pact over the last couple of weeks. Recapping the last 2 to 3 weeks, we've just finished our seed round, which raised co-led by Hivemind Capital and Borderless, by Hivemind and Borderless Capital, rather, with $2 million raised at a $20 million valuation, which is really cool. Andy, I'll get you in there again, mate. I think he's on. Got a sound check there, Andy? Oh, Robbo, my bad.
Yeah, can you hear me now?
Yeah, got him. He's live.
Sorry, man. It's really wigging out of my end.
Yeah, that's right. It happens to everybody. I think it's a bit dodgy. I don't think I've ever joined and spoken in a space where I haven't had to fiddle around and alter things. Yeah, so
we're in.
Trying to use my headphones, but the sound doesn't even go through my headphones, so I'm just using my phone to my ear more. It's interesting. Yeah, so seed round finished a couple of weeks ago, which was co-led by HiveMind and Borderless Capital, with a $2 million raise at a $20 million valuation, and there were a number of other accompanying investors, a couple of which I'm very excited about that I've followed previously, like CMS. They were the most ones that stood out to me most because they have quite a bit of involvement outside of just Algorand-specific investments, and they have a really strong presence in a bunch of other chains. Did you notice any in there, Cody, that stood out to you?
As long as we get something to Polygon or some EVM chain, it's the only thing I am really, really ideally about, because that's, let's be honest, that's where majority of the liquidity is at right now, you know.
Yeah.
And, no doubt. As long as it's not like, you know, like, I feel like as long as we have one, there's scalable bridges, like liquidity will be easy to transfer over, in my opinion.
Yeah, couldn't agree more there. The grant that Algo Foundation has put out for EVM compatibility has had, I think, we had a quick look at it yesterday. I think they've had 9 applications so far for that grant, which is really good news. We're trying to find out whether or not they are just awarding one grant, or they're giving a number of grants and letting the competition sort of fight it out. I'm not actually sure. You don't know, do you, Cody, or perhaps Robbo? Expat, go ahead and speak if you've got some knowledge to add there.
Hey, it's good to meet you. I don't think we've spoken yet.
We have not.
Yeah, so I think I'm meeting you. I just landed in Brisbane, so I guess I'm meeting you tomorrow.
Yes, mate. I'm catching the train up first thing tomorrow morning. I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, and it's good to see some notable names in the crowd. I see Natalie. I see Lisa. Good to see you all. But yeah, I just wanted. I remember you posted about the Ledger integration, and I'd love to hear a bit more about that.
Oh yeah, have you had a read through Dojo's tweet? It's pretty. It's an epic.
Yeah, yeah.
Epic thread that he's posted.
Well, that's a bit more about that.
Yeah, absolutely. So we're taking on the compatibility. So currently there's some compatibility issues between Algorand and the Ledger hardware wallet where people are unable to add their funds. And we're taking that on. Not me specifically. I do not have the technical know-how to do that. But Pact and the dev team are taking that on as of, I think, last week, to find a fix and solution for that in order to provide all of that value to the Algorand ecosystem. So we're not just looking for a fix for us on our end of things. We're going to be providing a fix for the entire Algorand community, because a rising tide lifts all boats. Dojo's gone into some pretty deep detail in regards to how it's being done and why exactly it's being done on an awesome tweet thread. So basically, the Ledger hardware wallet integration is not supported by some of the newer dApps built using the Algorand tech upgrades. The protocols just don't allow devs to do more with the transactions. So he's gone in a deep dive, and these limits are constraining what transactions can be signed on Ledger devices. So I'm just reading some parts here from Dojo's tweet, but if you're really interested on diving a little deeper on the tech aspects of that, he's got a great tweet. So Dojo-Pact-Dujour if anybody wants to read in a bit more of that. But it's a fix that we're working on and providing to the entire Algorand ecosystem, because there is a lot of value locked behind this as a problem, and the sooner we can release that, not just for ourselves, but for the entire ecosystem, the better, because that allows for better free flowing of funds and everything. So it's pretty exciting, actually.
Oh, yeah. I think it's going to be a game changer, honestly. And yeah, I appreciate it so much that you guys are just, you know, taking on the challenge.
Thanks, man. I appreciate it. We're it's pretty exciting. It's really, it's something we're quite proud of, that we can actually, we can take this on and provide provide a fix for the whole community. It's pretty cool that we're able to do that. Help everybody out. It takes AlgoFam to the next level a little bit. So that was actually mentioned in our AMA, which took place last Thursday. There was a fair bit of other alpha that Dojo dropped in on there. Did anybody manage to catch the AMA while it was going on live?
I was there, like, for most of it. Then I fell asleep because he got to answer one of my questions, and he answered that when he came on to the space we had with Jess the other week, which is, like, you know, different automated market making tools, which I am very excited about, because anything beats these 50-50 market makers, as long as people are building smart, you know, concentrated yield farming liquidity, you know, protocols into there. And I'll be excited about that. And he, you know, he also answered the fact that they're going to, you know, specialize in automated market making tools and not try to be the one, like, trying to diversify between, you know, different products. Like, you know, we're going to just be really good at one thing. And I like that a lot.
Yeah, that's, I like that as the focus too.
I sort of drew some parallels between other chains when he said that in my mind, and it reminded me sort of Curve in a way on the ETH ecosystem, in that Curve is really well trusted by just about everybody, and they've got that really deep liquidity,
and their whole the way that they operate is really rather quite simple, and they've just got a pretty single-minded focus on providing deep liquidity and USD stable swaps in a really functional and easy manner, and everybody else is able to sort of piggyback off that. I think we can learn a lot from what Curve are doing and implement some stuff on our side of things. They've got some really solid ideas there.
Yeah, I'm excited. You know, like anything, like I said, will beat these 50-50 market makers, because I think they do benefit, like, you know, bigger whales, because let's, you know, it helps them sell without, like, destroying the price.
Yeah,
in a way.
Yeah, that's a big deal.
But it doesn't really benefit, like, you know, the smarter players that want to be kind of tactical with their liquidity, but not maybe do as much high risk as, like, taking margin or loans or something like that. So
yeah,
I like it, and especially it's really good to introduce. I'd say, like, to, like, newer traders with, like, you know, like, you know, hey, this is something, a risky DeFi product you can use, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, you don't have to put your life savings or YOLO everything into this, you know? And
the slowly. I think Curve and CVX Convex have a really interesting model going forward, particularly for their rewards programs as well, because there's a lot of jostling in the Ethereum communities and the broader crypto ecosystem to control CRV tokens and CVX tokens in order to get votes within the ecosystem. I think that's a really interesting way that they've given utility to their tokens via a rewards program, which is also something that PACT, that was something that was mentioned in the AMA, which is, we're working pretty hard on our rewards programs to get us to the stage where we can really start rewarding users and picking up some speed to get some escape velocity in the ecosystem and get on that rocket to the moon, which is pretty cool. Everybody wants those rewards programs. I'm really looking forward to finding out more about what we've got going on there. There's some pretty big announcements coming, I think, for the Algorand ecosystem in general there. But Dojo was pretty cagey on details. I think he dropped that very slyly in our discussion with Jeff.
Yeah. I'd hope to maybe see something like have you ever used Uni V3 before?
I've used it a couple of times. I've been dissuaded lately because gas fees have been, or gas fees have been reasonably low over the last 2 or 3 weeks, but before that I was avoiding it like the plague because it was costing me a day's wage just to make one swap. But it's been, from my experience using it, when I have used it, has been fantastic. What about yourself?
I've made some fat money on Uni V3 with like little liquidity as well too. If you're just good at finding like, you know, the base support lines and like resistance, you know, when things are going to go sideways, it's an insanely profitable. I can make more money. Yeah, like I remember when like Yieldly first launched, and I was like showing everyone like in the Yieldly chat, like, hey, this is Uni V3. And like we're putting like $1,500 worth of liquidity in and making like $300 to $400 a day in fees. And just because we were just hitting those perfect markers and where like 100% of my liquidity was used. Occasionally it would go a little bit of out of range, but then just bounce right back where I'm buying again. And it's really nice. It has a skill gap, I would say. It's not something that like, you know, someone would just put in. You got to definitely put some technical analysis to it, and just got to find those high volume points. And they've done some really interesting things with the UI now with it, where you can see that, like on your price charts, where you're setting the ranges at. And you can just literally focus your liquidity, and then you don't have to put it all in. So that, I feel like that incentivizes more of like the more casual place, you know, user base to use it. Because normally to earn some of that on a 50-50 market maker, you'd have to put like $20,000 in, if not more. And that's a lot of money.
That's even cool. So I am not technically skilled in trading or technical analysis or anything, so I try to steer clear of that. But I'd be really interested to know more about that, actually, Cody. I'd be keen to have you. You don't haven't put together a guide like that, like explaining how to do that or anything, have you?
No. I normally I would just literally just have to like, I just have like a Google Meet with someone in like Discord or something like that. No, I haven't made a video on that. I haven't used it in a while, to be honest, just because like you said, the fees.
Yeah.
But I've been looking into doing it again, but I've been buying too much Algorand, to be honest, so it's kind of.
Got no liquidity to play with. Hello, Dojo Sensei. Welcome to the spaces.
Hey guys, thanks for letting me in. I'm sorry, it's a little bit late. I'm curious. What do you say to the people that say that technical analysis is voodoo, witchcraft, mumbo jumbo?
I tend to believe it is a bit mumbo jumbo at times. But that's probably just because I don't understand it. Cody might have a better answer.
It's normally 100% of the time mumbo jumbo when people are promising you it's going up or down. I just try to look for those high volume points where the trade will stay, and you know, and then move my liquidity. And I have like normally how I would use Unit B3 is like I'd had $1,500 in between this one range that it's obviously going to stay at a certain point. Then I got another like $1,500 below it at another price range and another $1,500 above it. Because I don't know where it's going to go. I just use the basic, you know, Bollinger Bands and just kind of, you know, set my ranges from there off the one-day chart if needed, if not even the four-hour chart. So
very clever way of doing it.
I mean, I don't know. I don't ever claim to say, like, you know, market going up now, you know, moon now, sir. But I definitely, it adds like a level of like, you know, just capturing the volume with like, you know, little liquidity, but you know, being hard focused at those moments right there.
That makes sense. So you kind of use it to find a range rather than to find price targets and to define a top or a bottom. Is that right? Have I understood that correctly?
That is very correct.
Yeah. Okay. Interesting.
And how do you deal with gas eating into your margins on ETH?
Well, back in the head, like that's why I quit using it after a while. When the GUI was getting like, you know, anywhere past like 100, and that's like, nope, not happening, not worth it. So yeah, especially like, you know, once it was either mooning or dumping, yeah, that's where that became an issue, 100%. Yeah, sure. It was not fun after that.
So you'd be a big advocate of it on an Algorand cheap chain?
Yes, 100%. That would solve a lot of my problems, especially, you know, not having to, you know, front run Gui anymore. That would be very excellent.
So bullish on any...
What's your take on it from a usability perspective with Uni V3? It is significantly more powerful, but do you think it's as accessible for... I know you're advocating that anybody sort of from any wealth level can participate, you know, given that you can sort of be very precise about where you supply with liquidity. But do you think from a financial education perspective, do you think that's accessible?
As far as like anyone could use it, like I said, there is 100% a skill gap to it, I would say, because some people are just not going to, you know, some people just don't take L's well and always call something a rug. That's what I would say. But the 50-50 market maker is definitely, I would say, more of a safer play and easier yield. And like I said, it definitely, you know, it definitely serves the whales a lot better. And I feel like it's just better when they can route between each other, you know. And that way, like, you know, because you'll have these, like, moments on there when I am using it where, you know, like, I will be offering a better price than, like, Uni V2 would be offering. So the trade would automatically route to me no matter what taker fee I was even offering. I was even at points where I was using, like, when I was doing Yieldly, I was getting a 1% taker fee from everything. But it didn't matter because I was offering a better price. Just because of my ratio. So
have you seen the new fee price points on Pact?
I did see that. That was really nice, especially for lower liquidity things. That's that was very nice and very generous.
Yeah, we're gonna explain more broadly and to the community what we did there sort of shortly. We've got a bit of front end and back end wizardry still to come to sort of tie that all together to really make the multiple fee tier pools you know, financially beneficial and more usable as well.
I've had a couple of people from the community already DM me on Discord thanking us for the 1% fee tier pools on the lower liquidity pools, saying they've been doing quite well out of them. So that's pretty cool, especially since we kind of released them on the sly and haven't really announced it publicly. But some very eagle-eyed community members were in there very quickly, which is really cool to see.
Yeah, and like I said, the reason we have we've sort of snuck it out quietly is that we still have some features that are nearly finished that are going to sit over the top of that to make it much more unified experience, so that's going to be good.
Looking forward to it. That was also dropped in the AMA, so we'll have a couple of we'll have a summary of the AMA coming out hopefully this afternoon for everybody to read through, but we've got a bunch of tweets covering the main points of alpha that we dropped in that AMA if you want to go have a look through the Pact Twitter. But we've discussed a couple of them here. So there's the swap-related products, which I think Dojo is referring to there, fixing the Pact integration, which we discussed. And the other one that I was really excited about is the GoBTC and GoEther chips, because they are a big deal in providing liquidity to the space as a whole.
Yeah. Who was excited? Did you say Kyle?
No, me. Me, personally.
Right. I reckon The Pact Twitter account is potentially going to leak a bit more information about that later on tonight, I think. Ooh, but it aligns nicely with the concept of, or the topic of, rewards, and we've got a big number to come out and leak.
I like the sound of that. I like the sound of that. I also like the Firebox HQ institutional custodian compatibility. That sounded like a huge deal for the liquidity as well. any sort of institutional liquidity providers are a big deal, obviously.
Yeah, and then like I talked about a week or two when we spoke to Jeff, it really is just a basic mechanism or a building block that needs to be in the space. So once that's out of the way, it really unlocks a great more sources of liquidity to go and target.
Yeah, it's very exciting. We've got a couple of other partners coming in to add liquidity shortly too. Is that correct?
That's right. And a few of those partners were restricted by some of our ledger issues. We've had to come up with some workarounds there. So we need to allow them to do it safely. And that has just proven to take a little bit longer than we'd like. But that's going to get sorted out shortly.
That's great. It's good. It's nice to know that these things are taking time just to ensure that they're done as safely as they possibly can be for the insurance of everybody in the community as well as all of the investors. It's taking the slow road, but hopefully the much, much safer road. We've got some Robbos in here to give us some lowdown on some delicious NFT alpha as well. We've had some great discussions about what we wanted to be able to provide for the utility. We've had some awesome suggestions from our own NFT private channel Discord, which I might just run through quickly before Robbo jumps on and lets us know his thoughts and notes. So some suggestions that we've had from the Discord is to allow holders the right to participate in the PACT TGE. So holders can purchase the PACT token at a lower price point. Interesting suggestion. I don't know whether or not that is going to be implemented, but I like the creativity of the suggestion. Second one that I liked is the NFT can be mortgaged to borrow assets from PACT. Another very interesting suggestion. Sounds almost like a scheme XPACT would be doing. I like that too. Very creative. It's good to hold that NFT. Definitely not selling it if that's something that we can do. NFT holders able to participate in voting mechanisms to decide their own rewards. I like that as well as a community function, although I would just be voting for the best rewards possible all of the time. So I don't know how viable that is long term. Allow holders to participate in all future PACT token releases or partnerships. So as a whitelisting device, I really like that as an idea. That's something that we'll probably be working on and taking forward in one way or another. And the final one, stake NFT to earn PACT tokens. Another nice and creative idea. Robbo, you want to chime in there, brother?
No, I mean, man, it's good what you're covering. I'm loving that the community's bringing us feedback on how, you know, they see utility. We're all avid NFT followers, and I think, you know, anything that we can get from ideas and tips at this stage, like, we're very welcome to that. So keep bringing that on. I think for us, it's exciting. You know, like, it's important to note there's a lot of hype on NFTs, but like, we are an AMM first and foremost, right? That's where our focus lies. And then NFTs is our way of bringing a community and you guys along on that journey with us. I mean, shit, we broke Zestbloom. Dropping what was it, 3,500 plus
3,500 NFTs, that's right.
3,500, yep. You know, like, some people were claiming like testnet users of 1,000, like, that just shows you where our numbers are at. It's just such a great way to start the project and you know, support up and coming platforms as well on Algorand. We'll retain about 100 NFTs, but the rest will be burnt in the coming weeks. We've got that active incentive program out for liquidity providers. That's obviously those tiers of gold, silver, purple, and green. They look epic, you know, like, they're epic. Like, they're placeholders, but they're epic. I mean, they just, even what we're doing with the whole audio and visual element of it, I just love it. So, I mean, it makes me froth, but I don't know if everyone else how that feels. I think the stories behind that and our pillars and how we're bringing that into life is really cool. I think it's going to be interesting. You know, when we've got it till the end of March, a huge proportion of liquidity provider that like that, that whale that we thought might be in there by now may not by the end of March. So that's a little bit to you guys just saying it might not take a lot to be in that top 90. So that's something to keep in mind with limited days left by the end of the month. But we've also got that 101 of one that's been minted. Stay tuned for our plans there. That's, you know, we're at the moment, we're doing a few conversations around how that can play out. Are there any charity elements we can bring into the fold? How do we support partners and the community further there? And then I know you've just set up that new chat. I mean, do you want to talk more about that in Discord, the NFT only channel?
Yeah, so the NFT only channel has been set up for all of our NFT holders. So if there's anyone in here who happens to hold a testnet NFT who isn't in the Discord, you can jump into the Discord, verify that you hold the NFT using a bot that's in there. The bot can be a bit tricky to use because it's very new to the whole Algorand ecosystem. As far as I know, I think it's the first one available and working at this stage. So it does require a little bit of patience sometimes, but we've set up a guide there for people to follow. But you can jump in there, verify that you own the NFT, and then you get access to a gated channel where discussion about the NFT utility is open, and I drop in a bit of alpha here and there before anybody else gets it. And anybody in that channel will get NFT news regarding the NFT before anybody else. So if you do hold the NFT, I highly advise to jump in there.
I think that also leads us to something cool that will just plays on our rising tides idea and like partnership approach that we've got at Pact. And, you know, that's around like we're in discussions at the moment with potential partners around like reutility and tooling and what we can bring to the Algorand ecosystem and what we can take on as a project at Pact, use and then share that with the community. So like things like tracking NFT sales, staking opportunities, utility there, things that we're used to seeing on other blockchains that is like still, you know, really quite clunky in our space. So in that channel, please, or wider in Discord, like bring that feedback. Like, what do you want to see from these tools? And especially in that space, because that's where we're focusing on our attention on how do we upgrade the utility, upgrade the way we interact, and make it an easy user experience to bring more people on board. So that's something to watch out for that's coming in probably the next couple of weeks, to be honest.
Yeah, there's a lot of exciting stuff coming over the next couple of weeks. I thought I'd just touch on those NFTs that Robbo mentioned for the liquidity. That's ongoing, that competition, and we'll be wrapping up towards the end of the month. We'll have news on specific dates coming very soon. But there's still low liquidity or low-ish. It's actually ticking up very quickly. But if you are worried that you're going to get crowded out by whales by providing liquidity, don't. It's well worth a shot throwing it in there. There's 90 NFTs up for grabs, so the pool is quite big. And then we're also running our Algorand Ecosystem Directory NFT competition. So if you haven't seen that yet, you can jump into the Discord, scroll up on the announcements. I think it's a couple of announcements back. React to the announcement for the competition. Follow the link and vote in the Algorand Ecosystem Directory. And you're in the running to win a testnet NFT. So there's three up for grabs at the moment. We're at 150 votes, and we can give away up to five if we get to 350 votes. So we're doing very well. I think we're actually sitting at number two or number three in terms of votes at the moment, which is fantastic. We've had an awesome response from everybody in the community there. But yeah, if you missed out on a testnet NFT and you still are hanging to get one, there's an opportunity right there. There's three up for grabs at 150 votes. If we make it to 200, we will be, oh, maybe it's 250. Actually, let me just double check. Yeah, 250 is four NFTs to give away. And if we manage to get to 350, we can give away five. So yeah, if you're still hanging out and disappointed that you missed out on a on a testnet NFT, there's still plenty of opportunities to win one of potentially five. But there will be more opportunities. As Robbo said, we've withheld 100 testnet NFTs to use for marketing purposes and stuff. So if you miss out this time and you still really want one, just hang around. There'll be plenty of opportunities for everybody. All right. We've rolled through most of our PACT-based news, which is fantastic. We've got a lot more. I'm sure we're going to have a lot more to talk about next fortnight with a lot of updates. But Cody, you flagged with me some pretty interesting Algorand ecosystem news that you wanted to chat about.
Yes, we've got 1.1 coming soon, which I'm very excited about because the contract functionality is huge.
What contract functionality is it providing?
The ability for contracts to call on other contracts, which can't happen right now. It'd have to go back to your host wallet and recontact. That's why they have like 10 confirmations, like using like AlgoFi or something like that.
Right. So go ahead, X-Pac.
Yeah, I was going to say, the update's a game changer, especially for our staking mechanism too.
I think we lost him.
He might have got rogued.
Yeah, I think he did.
Hello?
So basically, if I understood that correctly, Cody, it streamlines the whole process so there's not as many, you don't have to go through as many confirmations and just makes it, it's a simplified way of entering and exiting. Is that right?
That's correct. Yes. So it's just going to make things a lot less confirmations. That way they don't hit the max and we can add more programming functionality into the contracts. And that's where I feel like it's a key part missing.
Can I share some not bad news, but some news on that I'm hoping I can change going forwards, Cody?
Yes, please share.
So Algorand is a very security safety first chain. The 1.1 release as it's come out at the moment has actually a limitation where TL6 contracts can only interop with other TL6 contracts. So once everybody's out there writing newer versions of code, it's fine. But as it stands for the moment, a new interop contract can't speak to a TL5 contract. So, existing AlgoFi, existing Focus Finance, existing Pact, existing Tinyman, etc. Now, I've brought this up with Rotem at Algo Inc. And just sort of explain the business and the product implications of this. And so they're taking a look at whether they can introduce a patch which will drop the minimum interop standard so that V6 can speak to V5. So that's actually, it's got big implications for this next feature that Pact is going to release. So it was initially bad news, but I'm hoping that it can be resolved. So if anyone has any avenues of conversation into Algo Inc. or the foundation, please share and say I think that's a bit of a tight restriction and put the peer pressure on.
So forgive my technical ignorance here, Dojo, but would that mean without a fix on the current version, it would mean code bases have to be rewritten to be aligned with all with either TL6 or TL5, depending on what someone decided the standard would be?
If they want to make use of this new feature, which allows one contract to speak to another contract.
Right. Okay. Interesting. That's cool. So that's not currently something that's fixed at the moment, but it's something that is being worked on for the ability to speak between TL5 and TL6.
Sorry, say that again.
So the ability to speak between TL5 and TL6 is something that's being worked on at the moment?
Yes, but in the other way around. So what we're trying to achieve is that the new AVM 1.1, which is also known as Teal 6, we're trying to work with Algorand to support Teal 6 speaking to Teal 5, which is just the previous version of the contracts.
Okay, I gotcha. But I've got no idea about this tech stuff, but I do like to learn about it as I go. So thank you. Forgive my ignorant question, but I find these things interesting.
Not at all. That's what we're all here for.
Yeah. So that's pretty cool, the 1.1 update. There's been a fair bit of marketing and stuff going on the Algorand ecosystem as a whole. We've had a pretty action-packed week here in Australia with the Australian Blockchain Conference bouncing around capital cities. The PACT team is going to be in Brisbane Thursday and Friday, as I think that's Austin behind the X-back ticker there, as Austin referred to earlier in the week. And there's been a lot happening throughout the week. I just posted in the Discord it's a smallish transcript of the Silvio McCarley, I hope I didn't butcher his last name there, of his opening presentation to the Blockchain Week. So if anybody missed that and is really interested on checking it out, you can jump into the Algo chat channel in Discord and grab a link to that. But we're really looking forward to what's in store for the rest of the week. Has anybody caught any of the presentations or anything that they want to highlight for what's been going on over the last week?
Oh, I did see a clip of Silvio speaking. He was talking a lot about, he brought up a bit about privacy and implementing that into Algorand too, which is interesting.
We're being rugged by some pretty bad internet there, Austin, if that's you. I only heard something about privacy.
I think it could be Gal from X-Pact, not Austin.
Oh, hey, Gal.
Not positive on it.
So something about privacy there, but you can check that out. So it's actually on Stockhead. I might post a link after we wrap this spaces up, and I'll retweet it so anybody that wants to check it out can check it out. I wouldn't mind having a read through it first as well. I think we've been running for just over 40 minutes. Does anybody want to jump up and ask some questions or just have a chat, or has had anything to add? Anybody from the audience? We can open it up now. So if you want to chat or ask a question or just say something, you can even jump up and abuse me if you want. The floor is open to you all. But if we don't get anything else, I think it's probably a pretty good time to wrap it here for the very first PACT Spaces. I'll just give people a chance to put their hands up if they like. But if not, thank you everybody for joining. I really appreciate it. And we'll see you again in a fortnight with plenty more news and alpha, hopefully.
Yes, it was very educational.
Oh, here we go. We've got Tali from one of my favorite non-Algorand Discords. He's up. How are you, Tali?
Hey, dude. I'm good. How are you?
I'm very well, mate. Nice to see you.
Hey, nice seeing you too. It was actually very informative because I'm not following Algorand at all, so this was a whole lot of news to me.
Thanks for tuning in. I'm glad we could provide some value and make that informative. I appreciate it.
But I just wanted to run my perspective by you and see what your opinions are.
Please.
I'm very much into Luna. That's kind of my home ground for now, right? So
yeah.
Luna is all about pushing UST forward as a stable coin. And recently there was on AVAX, there was a DEX that put a proposal forward saying with the Luna that they would put UST as their primary trading pair on the DEX, and they would incentivize those trading pairs more and things like that. And then in return, the Luna community would also offer incentives from the Luna side of the house for those trading pairs and so forth, right? And Luna being now like the second biggest by TVL, it seems like like Avax could, or sorry, Algorand could do something similar. You kind of get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I think I get what you're saying.
I think the community of builders that we've got at the moment would love something to come along and steal the attention of people like Luna and Anchor has done. We'd all love that kind of limelight to be shone on Algorand. I think every single blockchain is jealous of that buzz and hype at the moment. It would be fair to say.
Yeah, they have been phenomenally successful. It's been pretty incredible to watch, honestly.
Right. And then that wasn't really my point, to be fair. Like, my point is, like, are you guys looking into the Luna ecosystem for like collaborations in any way? Because I know Luna people are usually happy to just like collab with just about everybody.
We're not specifically looking across into Luna, just because we're trying to get our house in order internally to begin with. On Algorand, it's a unique sort of proprietary virtual machine and code and programming language and da 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 da. We're all collectively still just, I guess, polishing off the building blocks internally. Once we've got that in order over this coming sort of quarter, then it becomes a lot easier to start casting our gaze elsewhere and looking about what else can be done cross-chain and what sort of interop and things like that. As we were just describing, like, we've only just got internal interop in contract-to-contract calls like 2 weeks ago. That's sort of an indication of the maturity of the ecosystem, which we're all collectively trying to fix.
Okay, right. Yeah, so like I said, I am very much centered around Luna right now. So this was all very informative. So keep up the good work, because this is definitely a service you're doing for the community.
Thanks very much, Toya. I appreciate you tuning in and giving the feedback, man. Anybody else want to jump in there? We are more than happy to bring a couple of people up if they'd like to ask some questions or just have a chat.
I was also just going to add that feel free and please get in touch with Chopper and Cody or Market Maker about things that you maybe wanted to hear about that didn't, and we want to be tailoring this space so that we are catering to stuff that you all want to hear and talk about. So
yeah. Yeah.
Feedback is essential.
Absolutely. So on that, my DMs on Twitter are always open, and if you're in the Pact server, my DMs are always open to anybody in the Pact server. So feel free to message me anytime, and I'll get back to you as quickly as possible. But yeah, absolutely, we're open to suggestions. The Pact is going to be an ongoing thing, and our hope is that it will evolve with us. That it will evolve with the community as we build and grow. So what you guys want to hear is what we will do. So any suggestions or feedback is 100% welcome and really appreciated. I always appreciate people putting their own time into letting us know what they think and feel about what we're doing. It's really appreciated. All right, I think we might leave it there. That's a wrap for the Pact number one. Thank you, everybody, very much for tuning in. I really appreciate it. Again, feedback and suggestions. Next one will be in 2 weeks' time. Date and time is TBA because of my travels over the next month, but we will be bedding down a consistent schedule after that. But keep an eye out. 2 weeks' time, the time for Pact number two will be announced. And we'll be good to go by then. Robbo, did you want to chime in there quickly for a minute, or was that just a goodbye wave?
That was a goodbye wave, team. See ya.
Goodbye. A goodbye wave. All right. A little bit of that. Thank you, everybody. Enjoy the rest of your day. Have a fantastic week.
Thanks for checking out another episode of The Ether. That was The Pact number one, recorded on Tuesday, March 22nd, 2022. This episode of the Ether was brought to you by WeFund. WeFund is a community crowdfunding cross-chain incubator on Terra, and it's the first launchpad that implements a milestone funding release system to protect investors. All money raised for projects is deposited in Anchor Protocol, and it's refundable, and all decisions are based on community voting power. WeFund is community-focused and designed to be a user-friendly experience for both project creators and investors. Be sure to follow them on Twitter and join the Telegram for more information. Links are in the show notes and check them out online at WeFund.app. This episode of the Ether was also brought to you by Glow Yield. Glow Yield is the ecosystem of Terra decentralized apps like Lotto and Creators, all powered by DeFi Yields. Glow Creators helps artists and influencers give their fans exclusive perks through membership, NFTs, and more. Glow Lotto is a PrizeLink savings account with a weekly chance to win the big jackpot. Tickets are free and perpetual, which means there's zero chance to lose money. Be sure to follow Glow Yield on Twitter and join the Discord community to stay up to date with all the glowing projects and check them out online at glowyield.com. This episode of the Ether was also brought to you by Talus. Talus Protocol is the NFT platform for independent artists on Terra. Talus helps to provide artists with the tools and resources needed to transition from traditional art into the NFT world. With their V1 launch coming soon, Talus will be the place to see real-world art reflected on Terra. Be sure to join their Telegram and follow Talus on Twitter for updates on their roadmap, validator, and other Talus news. Find your next favorite artist on talus.art. TerraSpaces appreciates the support from all our sponsors. For TerraSpaces.org, I'm Finn. Thanks for listening. Rolling down the street in my 6-4. I never had a 6-4. A kid can wish though. I snapped the wishbone and grabbed a fistful. Chilling with the dopiness of weed is all I wish for. I'm feeling blissful. I got a missus. My ginger always down to ride no matter what the mission. I'm singing this song. Got a couple albums out. We do alright, but it ain't really shit to write home about. Like to feed the fishbowl. Keep my stories mystical. I like my beats boom bapping rap to be lyrical. I'm feeling cynical. Craving a little ritual. Save my place in line while I try to find a miracle. I keep looking and looking and looking, but never find nothing. We've been lied to, thinking this surprise under super secret lies. Motherfuckers sneak inside, going dark now. Believe me when I say this shit is do or die. Going dark now. Believe me when I say this shit is do or die. Going dark now. Believe me when I say this shit is do or die. The trenches, trying to stay offensive. Trespassing here like this land looks expensive. Ain't no time like the present. Trying to stake a claim, just make sure your claim stays away from all these other claims. We're almost kind of running out of land here. Living in the day of the dead and it's damn weird. Same teams, y'all, we just trying to get a bite to eat. A little rest saved up, waiting for my time to sleep. Head down, middle fingers up, yo, I'm wide awake. Never hesitate to stay about 100 miles away. 7 time and space, while the wrecking ball the place. I expect you all to play, running marathons today. When the sick get sicker and the rich get richer, it might be about time to rearrange our dinner. Fix the system, the shit, it's all nixed. Waking up early, gonna suck today's. Going dark now, believe me when I say this shit is do or die. Going dark now, believe me when I say this shit is do or die.
Clark's a great guy, man. He's totally gonna take care of Angela, man. He's great. He's a wonderful lab partner, so it's gonna be cool. We'll keep an eye on her.
Why don't you go fuck yourself, you weird little prick?
I'm a teacher, okay? You can't talk to me like that, guy.
I'm not a student, so I can say whatever the fuck I want.
Terra Spaces.